So far on the line, we have Bruce Tompkins, David Maher, Marilyn's just stepped away for a cup of tea, and myself and yourself.
Great.
Hello.
How is everything?
Fine.
Are we the first one?
No, Olaf. On the call we have David Maher, Bruce Tompkins, Jordan Buchanan, and Marilyn, who's just stepped away for a moment.
Okay. The Ferris joined.
And I tried to use my speakerphone. So if I lose you, I'll re-enter. Is this working?
Good.
Well, okay, I managed to handle a speakerphone. That's great.
Suzanne Fenn here.
Welcome, Suzanne.
Hi, Glenn.
We have on the line Jordan Buchanan, David Maher, Bruce Tompkins, Olaf Nordling, and Marilyn.
And David Ferris.
And David Ferris, sorry, David.
It's okay.
Will you be in Nadia Plata?
Unfortunately, I can't be there.
Hi, it's Maria here.
Hi, Maria.
Hello.
Steve Metallitz. Hello.
Hello, Steve.
Hi. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Will you be in my Bill Plata?
I will not.
Thanks. We've got on the line David Maher, Bruce Tompkins, Jordan Buchanan, Olaf Nordling, Marilyn Cade, Suzanne Sen, David Ferris, Maria, and yourself.
We have people about a minute or two more to...
Jordan, I think we're just waiting for ISPs and non-commercials.
Yes.
And someone from the ALEC.
Yes, and someone from the registrar's constituency who was appointed to this task force would be great as well, instead of Bruce and myself.
Oh.
But we will, if necessary, I guess we could hold the fort for them.
Good evening, Thomas here.
Hello, Thomas.
I had some problems dialing in.
Yes, so did I.
Three or four times to get in. So, whoever that is, good luck in recovery.
Thank you. My apologies, I'm going to hit the mute button.
I'm a little under the weather myself. Okay, why don't we go ahead and start at least talking about what we're going to talk about. The agenda that we had attached to the invitation to this call was to discuss moving, how we might move forward on recommendation number one. Unfortunately, I think that might just be an update on the status of the report being prepared by the staff. Secondly, discussion of how to move forward on recommendation two in light of our dialogue last week with the staff. And Maria has helpfully prepared a set of bullets or a set of notes on the discussion last week, which I think may help us out in that. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at that. And then third, a brief discussion of accuracy. Unfortunately, I don't think, Bruce, am I wrong? Have you sent out the sort of summary of where we were on accuracy to the list yet?
No, I haven't, other than what I sent out a few weeks ago. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to do that.
Yeah, so, well, we can talk about that briefly. And then lastly, plans for Argentina. Does anyone have something they want to add to the agenda?
No, I just want to say I just logged in. It's Tom Keller.
Hi, Tom.
Jordan, for purposes of kind of helping us with how much work we're going to be able to get done between now and then also at Mar del Plata, could we actually get a quick review from the staff on who will be at Mar del Plata? Because, you know, we kind of need to know how much heavy lifting we can do there.
Are you asking for that right now, Marilyn, or just during the course of the call?
We ought to do it early.
Sure. And Glenn, I think, has been polling people. So maybe, Glenn, can you just let us know what you found so far?
Well, the council members who are on the task force will all be there. David Maher will not be able to attend the Sunday meetings. David Ferris will not be there. And Steve McAllitz will not be there. Tim Lewis will be there. And you and Jeff.
But
I think that's exactly. And Brett Fawcett will be there from the ALAC. I'm not sure if Thomas will be there.
I think Nick Lagergren will be there.
Oh, yes, but he belongs to the council.
But Glenn, I think
Sorry.
We ought to go. I think we ought
to go by name.
I do, because we need to know who we've got that's going to be there that can do work and is also heavily involved in the work.
Okay. That's you, Marilyn. Jeff Newman, Ken Stubbs, Tony Harris, Greg Ruth, Mark Schneiders, Franny Willings, Tom Keller, Jordan Buchanan, Ross Rader, Paul Stahura, I'm not sure.
I guess he's coming.
Yeah, I would
okay,
be great.
Paul Stahura, Nicholas Lagergren, Kiyoshi Tsuru, Thomas Rusler, Vittorio Bertolo, and Brett Fawcett. And Suzanne and Bruce, of course.
Hello, Thomas joining again. I was thrown out of the call and couldn't reconnect.
Sorry about that, Thomas. So it does sound like we will have fairly broad participation in Mar del Plata, Maryland.
Yes, good.
Okay, any other items that people wanted to add to the agenda? Okay, why don't we jump right in then? Our first item on the agenda is moving forward with recommendation number one relating to improving notification. For those of you who haven't been on very many of the previous calls, we have the plan of attack is that we have agreed that the staff will assist us in putting together a report on the work that we've done and the recommendations that were initially approved by the task force, along with the constituency statements and the various constituencies who either agreed or disagreed with those recommendations. And we have seen a first very, skeletal draft of that report. And I know Maria continues to work on it. We've given her some feedback. And Maria, if you could just give us an update as to where we stand in that process.
Sure. Basically, what I'm doing at the moment is taking all the feedback I've gotten from the earlier drafts of the report and from Jordan and Jeff, particularly on the more recent ones. And basically, I'm making this more into something that absolutely measures up to the requirements in the PDP guidelines or the PDP for a task force report. At the moment, I'm working on the issues from the three different task forces, obviously it's recommendation one, and then recommendation two are the first two parts of the document. So basically, I'm just working away on it. I had promised a draft that would come out to the task force late last week, and I just felt that it really wasn't enough of an improvement on what I'd taken. Now, what I have done is incorporated the comments I got from Marilyn and from Milton and from others into the draft, so I'm expecting to have a draft within the next few days out to the task force, to the general list for everybody's comments.
Jordan, I have a question for the entire task force.
Yes, certainly. Does anyone else have questions or comments they'd like to make?
This is Steve Metalich, if I can get in the queue.
Okay, Steve. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
I think I have to apologize for perhaps being asleep in some of our previous task force meetings. I didn't think I was, but as I look at our work, I think I've kind of lost touch with something. In looking at where we are, I believe, and Bruce is on the call, which is good because he will remember the council discussion, what we are trying to do is to take the work of the task force and bring it into alignment with the PDP process and create the necessary documents and reports and processes that bring the work of the task force, I say singular now, plural before, into the alignment with the PDP process so that we can then stay aligned with the PDP process, even though we may need to modify the time frame of the PDP process. That's my understanding. Does that sound right to everybody?
Yeah, I think that's basically my understanding as well, Marilyn. And Bruce, can you echo whether we're doing what the council directed us to do?
Jordan, I guess if we go back to the Cape Town meeting, the idea there was to have a couple of, statements or draft recommendations out there in the community so people could discuss those. And so they were published prior to the Cape Town meeting. And then the next part of that process was to start working on the reports that would be necessary to go out to public comment. And those reports, the structure of those reports is specified in the bylaws, but includes basically getting impact statements from each of the constituencies, and those impacts would include, you know, what's the financial cost of implementing a particular change, and you know, what would the impact be on that particular constituency? Does it increase their costs? I believe in the case of the first recommendation that related to consent, that the registrar constituency responded saying that they believe that would be have a cost, and you know, they were querying whether those costs really justified what the benefits might be, and that was their view. Other constituencies, I believe, were fairly strongly in favour of that recommendation. So that those constituency views need to be documented in that report, and then that report goes to a formal 21-day public comment period, and then after that formal public comment period, you know, it gets reviewed by the task force again. Any changes are made, and then I think there might be a final public comment period, because it then becomes the final report, and then it goes through to the council for approval. So that's basically the PDP process. The only issue there is how many things do we combine into the one report. My view was that we should start moving things forward, because it seems that we're not going to be able to get everything done at once. And so, you know, we should make an effort to try and get things through the PDP process and up to a formalised vote if we can. So that's...
Bruce, I have a question for you, though.
Are we maintaining a queue here?
Yes, Steve, we are. But while we're sort of going back and forth on one topic, we'll
just make sure.
Yeah, we have you next.
Can I just ask the document that I'm using Annex A, the GNSO policy development process, as the source document? That's what I want to be sure that, as we are all working on this, that we're all using the same documents as the basis of our source documents for guiding the process.
Annex A would be the PDP process, would it, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what should be guiding. The only thing that I've added to that is that I think because there's been, and this is what I've discussed with the ICANN staff, because the WHOIS process has been going on for several years, I think it is worth, as part of that document, having a bit of a review section in the front, which sort of says that this is the ICANN mission, this is the issue that's been raised, and this is how these recommendations relate to that. Because I think one of the other problems that I see at the moment is the recommendations are now sort of lacking context, because we've gone through quite a long process where we've had issues reports. In fact, the last issues report, I think, was written by Louis Tuton on who is, that gives you an idea that it's a couple of years ago. And ultimately, what the whole process consists, as you know, of raising of asking the staff to do an issues report. That issues report is meant to sort of say these are the issues, and it's meant to relate those issues back to the mission. And then you kick off the development of the policy, which is in the council sets the terms of reference. Well, here we have three terms of reference, and I think we need to consolidate those into one now. So there's a bit of background work that I think needs to go in the front of that report, because otherwise you have no context. You're sort of making a recommendation without any reference to the ICANN bylaws.
Okay, I've been trying to, and let me step back and let others comment. What I was trying to do is to align the report that Maria was trying to draft directly to the PDP process, and I'm having trouble doing that, and I think that a tool that would help everyone to do that, and maybe Glenn could help to do that, would be to just go through the PDP process and put it into a set of tasks with the target dates down, on one side. We realize we've missed them, but for instance, a public comment period shall be commenced for a period of 20 calendar days after the initiation of the PDP. We need to kind of have them in a task document, I think, and also have the outline of the report done in a way that is consistent with what the PDP calls for, even if there are those additions that you're suggesting, Bruce.
Yeah, those additions are all basically in the process. I'm just saying that let's get them into one place, because they actually go back over several years now, and that's pulling in the issues material and the terms of reference and so on into the single document.
Yeah,
so that the task force. So that let me sort of go through. I'll just read out what the task force report is that we should be working on. This would be, by the bylaws, would be called the preliminary task force report.
Bruce, that is not correct. And I know I'm still in the queue, but I have to object. This, if because we have a transcript of this, I will say exactly what I said last week. If you look at Section 7E of the policy development process, that's the point we're at. We are not at the point of getting constituency statements. We've already had those.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
We're now at the point of a final task force report, and it has five elements: a clear statement of any supermajority vote position of the task force. Well, there was none. Number two, if a supermajority vote was not reached, a clear statement of all positions espoused by task force members submitted within the 20-day timeline for submission of constituency reports. This can be done by cutting and pasting the constituency reports into the task force final report. Three, an analysis of how the issue would affect each constituency of the task force, including any financial impact on the constituency. That was supposed to be included in the constituency statements under 7D1 Romanet 4. So, again, you just put in that's satisfied by cutting and pasting the constituency statements into the final report. Four, an analysis of the period of time that would be likely necessary to implement the policy. Again, this was supposed to be something that the constituencies addressed in their constituency statements. 7D1, Romanet 5. And finally, the advice of any outside advisors appointed by to the task force by the council, where there weren't any. So, basically, this report could be completed by taking the constituency statements that were received, all of them were received at least 6 weeks ago, and putting them into one document. And maybe you would need a paragraph or two at the beginning to explain what this is. But I don't understand why it would take 6 weeks to do this, and I think the reason is that Bruce has asked for something much larger, much more grandiose than what's called for in the PDP. And I would echo what Marilyn says. Please, let's look at the PDP and do what it says. And we can't do it within the time limits, but let's at least try to do what it says. Thank you.
And I want to go back into the queue because I guess the...
Yeah, if I can go to the queue as well.
Yeah, so why don't we go Marilyn, and then Bruce, and anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
So I'm thinking practically here about the feasibility of actually putting all the, you know, as I look at the work, I think that the work of the now combined force is probably three subtracks, and the tracks are on different time frames. And work is at a different level in each of the subtracks. Is at a different stage, pardon me, different stage in each of the subtracks. Does that make sense to people? So, for instance, we've done a lot more work on one of the tracks, which used to be a different task force, Task Force 3, than we've done on the work on tiered access, for instance, in terms of the level of work we've completed. Given that, I'm not sure, and given Marta Plata is around the corner, I'm not sure that we can have a single task force report that puts all three of those work projects into a single timeline, because some work will then be significantly delayed while we continue to work in the tiered access. That's one point I have. The second point I have is I do realize it is very confusing because the PDP does not have a table of contents for the reports. It just has a paragraph description. But it does, it's pretty clear about what needs to go into the report. And maybe we, and as I said, there may be additional things that would be very helpful to have attached to the report or in the report. But I'm also concerned about long delays in any work at all moves forward.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. Bruce?
I agree with Steve that where I'm looking at is actually 7 Part E, and as I did actually state that I see that we need to complete the preliminary task force report. All I'm saying in addition to that, and I don't see this as a six-week process, was basically to provide a context session there that covers the other steps that have already been done, which is what was the original issue that we're looking at, the issue report, and the general counsel's input on that and the constituency statement. So basically I'm trying to get all the material that's been done in the PDP process and stick it into one place. Now, whether you could call that a separate document, I really don't mind. That is not a huge amount of work because all the steps are already there. We have the issues report, which was done by Louis Teuton. We have the original terms of reference that we include. So it's really just getting those formal steps that start back at step two, which is creation of issues report. All those are actually official documents, and it's just pulling the material into one place. So I don't see that as a six-week process. I don't mind whether you want to call that a summary document and just publish that separately, but I am agreeing that the basic document that we are looking for is the preliminary task force report in 7 subsection E.
But I have a question again. We're talking about for one of the work initiatives.
That preliminary task force report would cover one of the work initiatives, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where I'm trying to get the context, you see, Marilyn, because we've kind of started from what was called a single issue, who is, and the original issues report, which was published by Louis, had something like, I don't know, 40 issues raised there.
Right.
Out of that, we then broke that down and we created terms of reference for 3 main areas. And what I'm trying to get at is consensus policy 1, what terms of reference, this first recommendation that came out, what terms of reference is that referring to? I'm just trying to get the context for what this preliminary task force report is actually addressing, that's all.
And so that's very helpful to me. Also, the idea that what we're trying to get done would be preliminary task force report on one of our work projects, not on all of them, but on one of them.
That's correct, yeah. And that's where the process has changed somewhat, because if you're following the letter of the process, we would have a preliminary task force report in response to the whole issues report that came from Louis several years ago. And we're not actually doing that. And that's why I think we need the context, because otherwise we aren't following the PDP, because we can't actually refer back to where the issue was. So I'm just trying to find the timeline of steps.
Thomas here, could I get on the queue?
Can I just finish my question to Bruce, and then I'll...
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn. Then Thomas, anyone else?
Oh, one idea to approach that would be to ask Glenn to go back to the minutes of when the issues report was discussed and look at the council discussion and instruction to create the task. Remember, we had a privacy working group at the council level that included 2 of the newly appointed nominating committee representatives at that time. Then we had the issues report, and then we broke the work down. And I would think the minutes would have that reference that perhaps Glenn could find, and that could just be referenced.
Yeah, I think that's right. Thinking about it another way, effectively, if you think about the way the board votes on things, the board tends to have a series of whereas clauses. And it sort of says, whereas at such and such a date we decided this, whereas at another date we decided this. I'm effectively trying to create the whereas clauses at the front of this, which is, you know, whereas on such a date we created the issues report, whereas at another date we initiated the 3 task forces with their terms of reference, whereas this particular report is addressing, you know, sub-point 5 of terms of reference 3, which related to the issues report that was produced in the year 2000 or whatever it was. So, I'm not talking about a 100-page report. I'm talking about a couple of pages that establish effectively the whereas clauses, which is the context, and then we have this preliminary task force report. So that's, you know, just trying to control the scope of this. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay, thanks. Thomas?
I think it's a very useful exercise to have a short look at where these 3 task forces come from. With respect to what Marilyn said, just 2 remarks. The order of things happening was a little bit different in my recollection. We had the staff issues report on the table in, I think, Rio de Janeiro in early 2003, and the steering committee that produced output between Montreal and Tunis in Tunisia, and that's where I believe the kind of background that Bruce mentions is very, very useful. We had an extensive discussion about which topics should be discussed at all, and which topics should be discussed in what way? And part of that discussion was that Vittorio had sent a message to Bruce at the time, raising specifically the review of data elements collected and published in WHOIS as one issue that we would like to see treated in a policy development process. And I believe that a report that outlines clearly to what kinds of questions the current recommendations respond would also be useful in order to see how Council took up this raising of an issue. And I would like to see that addressed in the report when it comes out.
I'm sorry, Thomas, could you repeat what you wanted to have Council address? I just didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, let me repeat it. What I said was, I think it is, in general, a useful thing to see how today's results correspond and not correspond to the roadmap that Council agreed on at the meeting in Tunis, where the three task forces were started. And I said that it was particularly useful from my perspective to see, would be particularly useful from my perspective to see in this report reflected how the work that happened corresponds to the raising of an issue that happened immediately before the Tunisia Council meeting by means of a message from Vittorio to Bruce concerning the terms of reference entitled Review of Data Elements Collected and Displayed that used to be Task Force 2, I believe, Marilyn. I think you were on it too. And I think it would be helpful to just in that report to see how the task force ultimately responded to that and took it up.
This is Steve. I'll have to step off briefly, but I'll be back as soon as possible.
Okay, thanks.
Can I ask Thomas another question?
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn. Does anyone else want to be in the queue? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm trying to understand the difference between maybe a assessment of the work that we are doing overall on WHIS and a summary report on that versus preliminary task force report that we're talking about doing on this particular issue. Are we talking about two separate analysis perhaps, or because the preliminary task force report has a specific detailed outline criteria, and I think, Thomas, you're asking, aren't you, maybe I'm wrong, for a broader look at the overall work that the task force, that Council has chartered on WHIS?
I'm talking about a report, let me put it like this, I'm talking about the perspective that a report that comes out of this effort now after, 1.5 years, would be very useful, and I think this is basically just me agreeing with Bruce, it would be very useful to see how the work that comes out of this, how the answer is given, fits to the questions asked, and I was just highlighting one of the questions that were asked.
Okay, so let me suggest, I want to try to wrap this up, so let me suggest perhaps, it seems like we're close to agreement in that this report should be focused, the initial report should be focused on the issues around the topic of consent, our first work item, and I think what I'm hearing is that we all agree that some amount of reasonable context and history there is important, but it should only be sufficient in order to provide an appropriate amount of comprehension for a reader of the report. We're not looking for a 15-page document to describe what happened prior to the work of the task force or anything like that, but rather a brief history of the discussion so far. I think in most of the previous sort of preliminary task force reports that were produced, that was included. Certainly, I know in Task Force 2, we did include a page or two on the history of the work so far. That could probably be incorporated into that, along with a mention of the relevant terms of reference and the issues that are being addressed by the particular set of recommendations that are encompassed by that work item.
Can I just add one comment to that, Jordan?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. Just when we say history, I think we're really talking about history of decisions rather than the history of everything that's been discussed, because if we talk about a history of everything that's been discussed, then you'll have arguments about different people will want their bit of history included. So I think, as Marilyn mentioned earlier, it's really researching the minutes and researching the official reports. So the minutes are the decisions that were made at the council level, that, for example, the request for the issues report. The issues report's an official document as part of the policy development process. The terms of reference are an official part of the policy development work. And then how this addresses those terms of reference. So that's, I just want to be clear that by history, I'm talking about history of decisions rather than history of all discussions.
Yeah, understood. I don't want to try to, I guess, summarize the character of the conversation so much as just that, you know, there was dialogue, there was a previous WIS task force, you know, and
yes,
there was in fact a an issues report and so on. So hopefully that puts us on the right track. Does that sound right to everyone? Do we have any?
This is David Ferris. I just want to clarify. Aren't we talking about issues around notice rather than consent?
You're right, David. That's exactly correct.
Okay.
Well, we keep calling it consent, even though it's not.
And so, just to, if we're in agreement on that, then we would suggest to Maria that, and I think this is important for all of us to understand in terms of what we can get done in time for Montreal for any public discussion versus what we need to do to continue to advance work, because those may be parallel work efforts at Mar del Plata. One of them would potentially involve this draft that Maria is working on the topic of notice. And that would be what we would try to have available to talk about at the public GNSO public forum. I'm asking questions.
Well, I would imagine, Marilyn, that we can. I mean, it's up to the task force to decide the views that we want to solicit at the task force. But certainly, there's once a report is advanced to the council, it has a different status and can be publicly commented on and so on. Generally, there's no provision in the PDP for an open mic or anything like that, obviously. So I think those sorts of events, it's up to us in the council how we'd like to make best use of them.
This is Olaf Nordling. May I just comment? Well, I believe that at this point in time, if we have a preliminary task force report, one of the primary objectives of that one would be that it should be exposed to public comment. So, of course, it would be justified to have some background information from that perspective, but given that it is intended for public comment, it should also be rather succinct. So, well, I agree with all you say and would rather try to focus it to that it should be meant for public comment that is accessible, easily readable, and easy to comment upon by the public. I think that this is an important step of the PDP process, and we should perhaps draft the report accordingly to make it as useful as possible from that particular vantage point.
I need to get back in the queue and comment on. May I do that?
Okay, Marilyn. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
I support Olaf your perspective that anything put forward for public comment needs to be easy and be put out in a process where people can click to provide comments and read comments which have been previously submitted. However, having said that, I support that. I raise a serious question about the feasibility of having a document prepared and agreed to by the task force and potentially the council in time for Mar del Plata. I thought perhaps what we were thinking about doing was a less formal opportunity in the GNSO public forum to establish a dialogue from those who are there. But maybe Bruce might comment on that. I also, in reading the PDP, I want to remind people that after we post, I'm looking at 9 in the PDP, and I think we do have a formal public comment process after this document goes to council. But this document is not yet at council, right?
Yeah, I think, Marilyn, I don't think the council, from my reading of the bylaws, I don't think the council has to approve publishing the task force report. I think that's the task force that's publishing that report.
Right, but the public comment process in 9 says it'll last for 20 days after posting of the task force report. We're the preliminary task force.
Yeah, this is the preliminary one. We're currently, as Steve Metellus pointed out, at 7 Part E, which is the preliminary task force. Then the comments are taken into account, I assume, and then the initial task force report is produced. Is that right?
Yeah, and then the final report.
Fine.
But that is basically correct. So I think, Marilyn, the question that you raise is, you know, what we're going to do in Mar del Plata. I don't think that, I mean, the question of whether we present the, you know, likely recommendations or, you know, solicit comments at the microphone in Mar del Plata, I think, is, to me, seems like a separate issue than the question of whether this is submitted for a formal public comment period that lasts 21 days, where people, you know, throughout the internet community can make comments during that period. So regardless, if this was advanced, if we had approved the report and published it for or approved it for publication, certainly the fact that there was an ongoing public comment period, I would think it would behoove us to use the open mic for that purpose. But I think there's nothing to prevent us from soliciting comments, even if we're not yet at that stage.
I'm not making an observation one way or the other on whether we solicit open comments. I'm reading 7E. The task force shall have a final task force meeting within 5 days after the date of distribution of the preliminary task force report to deliberate the issues and try and reach a supermajority vote. Within 5 calendar days after the final task force meeting, the chair of the task force and the staff manager shall create the final task force report and post it on the comments site. And then it goes on to say what the task force report must include. I'm only suggesting we need to have, guided by staff who have looked at these timelines, we need to have in our minds, even if we're going to modify the timelines, we would need to tell council we want to modify the timelines accordingly. We need to know where we fit into this cycle and what we're doing at each stage.
Sure. Well, just to reiterate, I think once we've published the initial report, there's a 21-day public comment period, after which the staff, the project, I don't remember what the term is, the something manager.
Staff manager,
yeah, creates a final report that incorporates those comments, and then within 5 days of that, the task force meets to discuss and try to resolve any open issues, and then the super final, I guess, report is published at that point.
Jordan, the reason I'm having confusion is I don't see the 21 days in 7E.
I would say that, I mean, first of all, we have a preliminary task force report that should be, this is all of, should be, distributed to the full task force within 40 calendar days, and then you have 5 days for preparation for a final task force meeting, and then, well, that's where you have the potential supermajority vote, and then 5 days again. Then the staff manager and the chair of the task force shall create the final task force report, and that's that stage you expose it to the 20 calendar days for public comment period.
All right, Olaf, what I was just suggesting is that first, we've missed the 40 calendar days. We've had a more extensive period than that. We need to figure out what the period is we're going to live with. But when we have the preliminary final report, figure out how many days we're going to have it, final task force meeting within 5 days.
If I'm understanding you correctly, Marilyn, you're just saying that you, when this preliminary report was produced, and it's preliminary because it's produced by staff, then it goes to, as Olaf says, it goes to the task force for a vote, and then within 5 days of that vote, the what's called the task force report is prepared.
That's right. I'm just
and then you have a 20-day, which is 9A. 20 days public comment starts at that point.
Exactly. I'm just suggesting we need to, as we do our work, we need to factor these deadlines in, figure out how we're going to meet them, or if the task force needs to ask the council for a modification. These are bylaws.
This is all of again. I don't think we can make a quick fix of the bylaws, but then again, what the time of judgments isn't over yet, and I guess the first judgment to make is to decide where we stand in this timeline. I mean, we have the preliminary task force report. Is that the common agreement of the task force? If so, have we already exposed it to some kind of vote? And are we, at the end of the day, on the verge of having a final task force report or the task force report? I get the sense that, well, everybody's believes we're somewhere there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it seems that we've had, I mean, Maria's presented, I think, what I would call a draft report that probably doesn't quite yet rise to all the requirements of the preliminary report. And so I'd suggest that we're still not quite yet at the point where we've had a formal preliminary report that meets the requirements of the bylaws. And then it seems that shortly thereafter we need to meet, to discuss, to vote, and to have that published for public comment.
So assuming that's our timeline, are we going to try to have an informal agenda item on the GNSO public forum, which I'm supportive of having, but I think we need to know what we're doing.
Yeah, so Marilyn, that's, we actually do have as a later agenda item our plans for Mar del Plata, so.
And I think, Jordan, you've actually had the vote. I think you've actually done E.1, haven't you? You've had
a vote
on these.
We've not conducted a vote. Everyone's expressed opinions, but we've not had a formal
okay.
Vote. It seems that the process from here on out should be we do need to receive from the staff a preliminary report that meets the requirements of the bylaws, which I think Maria's sounds like is close to having ready for us. At which point we need to meet again and actually conduct a vote on that report, and then that report would then be published for public comment for a 20-day period. Following that, so that seems to me something that maybe I'm open to input. I guess do we want to try to have that follow-on meeting and vote prior to Mar del Plata, which would be next week, or are we okay sort of having this as an open item through the Mar del Plata meeting? And maybe I should ask Maria to start off whether it would be realistic to have our last sort of meeting slot would be prior to Mar del Plata, would be a week from today, to have a preliminary report that would be ready for votes a week from today.
I've gotten some excellent input, so I think it's feasible that there should be a preliminary report that meets the bylaw requirements this week. As to whether that gives you time, I mean, it will be towards the end of the week, so I don't know if that will give you the task force members time to have a look at it and prepare their positions on it.
Well, I think, I mean, we know the substance of the recommendations. I think that the constituencies have advised the various reps as to the positions on the recommendations.
And actually, that's right. The recommendations portion has been thoroughly reviewed, right?
Yes. That's, we've already had constituency statements and all the, I mean, that's what Steve, I think, referred to earlier, that we, 6 weeks ago we sort of were at that stage.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't, there's not much new material to create. It's really just putting it all in one place, I think, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, well, then I can guarantee it absolutely, come hell or high water, to have this report ready for you by the end of the week.
Okay, so with that in mind, it seems like a week from today we could meet to satisfy the requirements of the bylaws, to vote on the recommendation and to prepare it for publication, for public comment. Does that seem reasonable to everyone?
And so let's just talk about how we usually do votes. They're documented by the staff who are on, right, Jordan? And so people should just be, and I think what we do is we have, it's one, we need to go back and look at this. Although we have multiple members from constituencies on, haven't we usually done the vote one constituency, so to speak, one vote?
I believe, I think I got some advice from the general counsel on this point previously, so let me see if I can find what it was before I...
I think it'd just be good to refresh that.
Yeah, I agree. And here it is. And I believe his advice was that he talked to Bruce about it. So, Bruce, do you know the answer to this question?
Can you ask the question again?
What is the structure of voting within the task force? If there's multiple representatives per constituency and so on, it's just one, does each constituency designate a voting representative or something like that?
In the past task force, that was what I did, because we had multiple members. But I thought I did recall that we did get an opinion, because not all constituencies had three members on the task force.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Unfortunately, I don't. The last thing I have on this is that John says he talked to Bruce about it. So. My recollection, and it's not 100% pure, is that indeed each task force receives one. Each constituency receives sort of designates a representative within the task force to vote on their behalf, and that the AWAC does not get a vote, I believe, and other advisory members of the task force does not get a vote.
But I give you, this is all of just quick, in finding a definition in Annex A of supermajority vote means a vote of more than 66% of the members present at a meeting of the applicable body.
Olaf, it's Marilyn. I think, though, we have an issue about consensus. What is determined to be consensus? That is established in the bylaws. Task forces are a little different than the council, and maybe we would all be safer by, rather than speculating, Jordan, asking the co-chairs to, with a copy to the council chair, to just review this decision with general counsel, so it would be guidance for all of us.
Yeah, no, I think that's correct. And I'll look back through and see if I do have it documented anywhere. I don't know why my email train from previously sort of peters out, but I'll try that.
I mean, I think my comment would be on it. So is the issue that you've got in some cases not an equal number of representatives per constituency?
That's correct.
That the issue you're raising, yeah.
And the other question was whether the AWAC and other advisory members were allowed to vote.
I think, Jordan, there's one other question, and that is, it has been the understanding of my constituency that there is no weighted voting. So probably all three of those questions would go forward, or could go forward.
Yeah, I think that would make sense, because those are all questions, I think, if the bylaws are somewhat ambiguous on it.
Yeah. Can I just, I guess, look at it from this point of view? It's really a matter of documenting the voting in the report, because ultimately the council votes using the council's voting, which is very tightly specified, as to it going to the board. So the board's actually looking at the council vote. The board's not looking at the task force vote. The council is looking at the task force vote. And I think as long as whatever you choose to do, you're documenting that and saying, you know, these were the specific, you know, this was Marilyn Cade voted this way, and she's with the business constituency. You know, David Maher voted this way, and it's with the registry constituency. As long as that's there, I think, and then it may, as Olive say, you then might be then relying on the defined term supermajority vote, which might be more generally described in the bylaws, but we can check this with the council. In return, in respect to liaisons, liaisons don't vote. They are there as a liaison. So the structure of a task force is appointed by council, which at the minimum is one representative per constituency, and then the council may allow more than one representative per constituency. And then the council can appoint up to three external advisors. And I believe the only person that fitted that category was Amadeo was appointed by the council on one of the task forces. I forget which one.
Yeah, that's correct.
So there are no votes from any liaisons.
Bruce, I just want to... I agree with everything you've said with two clarifications. The issue on supermajority vote on this report, if a supermajority vote is not reached, then further work has to be done to document...
Right. Yes, I agree. Yeah, clear statement of all positions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it seems like it's worth raising the question at least to the general counsel, and I think Bruce, your advice is well taken, regardless, because I think it may be that we'll not receive a definitive answer in time to proceed.
I recall some time ago I might be able to dig up some advice on this as well that I had from Louis Tuton. On the issue of weighted voting, and I think it more or less came to it that it's not specified in the bylaws as to whether it would or would not be there. So if we're talking about the weighted voting issue, I don't think there's a direct resolution in the bylaws. The issue that I find is another one again, which is about if one constituency has one rep and another constituency has two, how that works. If it was done at the council level, it really depends. Like, if you don't have a sitting member, so to speak, that sitting member doesn't count in the votes. Would that be correct, Marilyn? So
that is correct, but sitting members are elected, and the task forces are created by the council. I think they're really different. Because, right, we can't, as council, modify the number of members in the council.
Right.
But if
the council says a constituency can appoint two, let's say a council says the constituency can appoint two reps, it's basically asking each constituency to nominate two people.
But we did not, you know, if we look back historically, we operated on one entity, one vote.
Actually, I think that might be somewhere in a council resolution.
We want to look back, because I do know that the council resolution specified that only one representative from each constituency was supposed to, like, speak on any given call.
Yeah, I think that's right. That was a discussion at the council level. So that probably then answers the question. It is one vote per constituency in that context. So I believe you're right, Jordan. I think the council actually specified that when it created the task forces.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I just think we need to go back through the decisions and get those in all one place, because they do go back over a long period of time.
So we've taken up a lot of time on this, but this has been very helpful, I think, in terms of our better understanding our processes, and it's one of the things that, yeah, to the extent our staff can, you know, help to gather that stuff in one place, it helps everybody in terms of debating this every time.
Yeah, and it may be, Marilyn, that the particular topic of the voting is probably more being covered in council meetings, because I think, as Jordan says, I do recall this was a discussion when we were setting up the task force, so we can refer to those minutes. And maybe the question of the voting for the task force might need to come back to council if it's not otherwise covered in the bylaws.
And Bruce, would we all agree that, as councillors, just stepping aside and wearing that hat, that voting rules would be established for task forces in general, not for a specific task force?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that they're either established for task forces in general, Marilyn, or they're established at the time a task force is created, because the task force is created by the council, basically.
Right, okay.
Okay. So I think, are we... slightly more clear. We'll go back and I will go back and review, I think, to see if we can track down those minutes just to give us the certainty on this particular topic.
Yeah, I think Glenn can do that for us, actually,
yeah.
Jordan.
Okay, great.
Yes, I'll do that.
Yeah, and I think it's when we were creating the task forces, because I do recall there was the topic of how many representatives we would have, and at that stage I think we specified the issue about because there was some constituencies were concerned that they couldn't provide two representatives, and I think we made some resolution that evened that out.
Yeah, I believe that is the case, Bruce. Okay, so we will look, Maria, eagerly for your preliminary report later this week. Okay, so I do apologize, we're running a little bit long here, but I'd like to at least jump to our next topic for some. Dialogue, because it is sort of reacting to last week's call and seeing if we have a way forward on our second recommendation or set of recommendations relating to conflicts with local laws or local and national laws. And Maria sent out earlier today a sort of set of notes on the call, which I think may be helpful in sort of summarizing some of the conversation and the responses. And the topic here on our agenda is how we move this process forward. And it seems like it was a good call and that we do have some opportunity to make progress here. Why don't I leave it at that and see if people have comments and specific comments they'd like to make about how we might move forward, either by either not moving forward or making adjustments to the recommendations or proceeding with the recommendations as they are. Okay, let me rephrase that then. It seems to me that we, with some relatively minor modifications of the recommendations that we originally made, we could address many or all of the staff concerns, and we could probably have a viable set of recommendations for further action by the task force. And it seems like the next reasonable steps may be just simply reviewing those recommendations and modifying them appropriately.
And Jordan, can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
I was on the call, and it's my recollection, but I would like to have that refreshed, that the staff was receptive to a modified version that addressed their concerns. Would that be a good summary?
Yeah, well, I wasn't on the call, and I just had it summarized for me, so I'd rather maybe someone from the staff could answer that for us.
Sure. Marilyn, sorry, I just couldn't hear the last part of your question there.
I said it was my recollection that the staff was receptive to the idea of a modified recommendation, but that it was in the form of a recommendation as opposed to policy. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's the general tenor that I got from them as well. They seem from John and Dan and indeed Paul. I mean, they did in a way bat it back to the task force and say it was obviously up to the task force to decide what form they wanted something that wasn't a policy to take if they chose not to go down the road of making a specific policy. So whether it be recommendations, guidance through the board, or guidance for the board, or anything else, they weren't. They didn't make a call on that.
But Jordan, I just think it's important in your summary to kind of include the form that it would come, whether it is policy, a recommendation, advice to the board, or something of that nature. I believe was left open. We talked about it and the call was recorded, I believe, right, Glenn?
Yeah, a transcript has already been.
There's a transcript of it, yes, Marilyn.
I hadn't seen the transcript. That's why I just think it's important we capture that and include that
Yeah, so actually, Marilyn, that, I guess, raises the question. Let me ask, I guess, a even more specific question to the task force then as to whether how we'd like to move forward in terms of the PDP only really contemplates making a policy explicitly, I suppose, but it doesn't. There's nothing to prevent us from, making no policy finding and simply saying, here is a recommendation that we would make, and I don't know. I don't think there's a mechanism for us to do anything with that, but certainly the council could then vote, a resolution or forward it to the board as advice or whatever the council wanted to do with it. But I'm certainly open to suggestions.
This is all of, excuse me, since I'm a newcomer, I can come with all the stupid remarks, but isn't it so that a proposed policy can actually indeed contain in phrasing or as a subtitle, a recommendation, that, it is recommended that.
Sorry, Olaf, it's Marilyn. Actually, it's a little more complicated because policy is a code word to all of us. Sorry about that. That means consensus policy, and consensus policy is binding on the registrars and the registries and often results in contract changes.
But I think Olaf's question is, can the output of this task force include something that's a recommendation and not a policy? And certainly there's precedent for that.
Right,
the first two of his task forces did that.
Right, but we were, exactly. And we presented the recommendations to the council and told them we were not present, they were, because if you vote on something and it's not consensus policy, you can still recommend it. But I thought that we were... that was the outcome of a PDP process, which did not result in all of the recommendations making it to consensus policy level. Is that what we are, and I'm happy one way or the other, but I is that what we're proposing for this topic?
Right. I mean, that does seem a little bit different, Marilyn, and, there's a difference of, I guess, circumstance in which, everyone doesn't agree, and as a result, it doesn't become consensus policy.
Right.
Versus everyone agreeing that this ought not, that we all agree with this statement, but it shouldn't be consensus policy nonetheless.
Right.
And so, I my reading of the PDP is that it doesn't specifically contemplate that. But there's nothing to stop us, I guess, from just simply saying we don't make a specific, policy recommendation per se, but we think this would be a good idea to do.
Yeah, I think, Jordan, if I can just speak on it.
Yeah, sure.
I think we just need to be careful of the language we use in the report, because as Marilyn points out, there's some terms have specific meaning within our context, and policy and recommendations often have that context. So often when we're talking about recommendations, we're talking about consensus policy recommendations. But that doesn't mean, as you point out, that a report can't have another section that says, this is some advice, or maybe advice might be the word to use.
I do have a question about this differences between policy and advice, if I can get in the queue.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Tom.
It is clearly understandable for me why staff rather would like to live with advice, vice versa policy. But the question I really want to raise is whether we want to leave it as just advice. I mean, we put a lot of thought in that, and we put a lot of work into that, and just giving out advice to to a general counsel, which might do it or might do it not. It seems a little bit often bad outcome of the whole discussion we had. So I'm kind of curious whether the whole of the task force really believes that just going down to advise something is the right way to go.
Is this all off? May I get into the queue, please?
Yeah, Olaf, anyone else?
And if you can add me to the queue as well.
Olaf, Bruce?
Well, very rapidly, I don't think it's a matter of black and white or zero or one in this case, but it was certain concerns forwarded by John in particular that the proposal was a bit too specific when it came down to which and who within the ICANN staff, notably the general counsel, that should or shall this, that, and the other. So I wouldn't say that advice or recommendation would apply to it all, but certainly to a few rather prescriptive elements in the policy. That was at least the gist I got out of the previous telephone conference. So, in part, the verb advice could well be used for those particular circumstances, I believe.
Can I have a question for that?
Could I get in the queue, too, please?
Yeah, so I'm going to... Yeah, Tom, if you're responding directly to Olaf, go ahead, and then Bruce, and then Thomas.
Yeah, the only question I would have is, do you mean that we should maybe split our advice into... Not advice, but we should split the work of our task force into one concrete policy recommendation and take out all the parts which were... which concerned what ICANN staff should do and put that into an advice section. So we think you should deal with that in a certain way. For example, like a person, you should, if it comes up that there is a national law problem, there must be a process. That's the policy we say, and we give you advice that you do it such and such way. If that was clear, if not, I repeat it. Sorry.
May I immediately respond to that?
Yeah, please, Olaf.
This is, I believe, you don't necessarily need to split it in two parts. But, well, since this is a matter of process as well, and the process must have some logic, and there are steps to take. And in case those steps, well, here it was prescribed that the general counsel shall do, well, if the wording could be slightly changed to, well, preferably by the general counsel or something like that. Because there may be other solutions and other options, and the general counsel may, for that matter, be, well, not available in the time frame which would be the most useful. And in cases of urgencies, not to prescribe too much to handcuff the day-to-day management of ICANN, which may need a bit of latitude of decision for the CEO to proceed as best he sees fit in a given circumstance. Guess what I mean?
Sure.
Hi, Jordan, it's Maria. Can I just jump in quickly? I don't want ICANN staff to dominate here, but just a quick little point.
Is it on the same topic?
On the same topic. Just simply, I don't want us to create any confusion. John Jeffrey's position was really, you know, was very clear that it was up to the task force to consider if they did want to use any other policy instruments and what form they should take. So we certainly don't have a view on that and wouldn't really want to push one either.
Thanks, Maria. Bruce?
I was just going to comment a little bit further, having thought through the policy comment. I guess anything that the council votes on as a policy, basically, and if the board approves it, that becomes actually a binding policy on ICANN, the organisation. And then in the registrar contracts, those bodies have contracted with ICANN to follow the policies of ICANN.
So I guess if you can follow that logic, if we are creating a policy, that becomes binding on the organisation itself. In other words, the ICANN staff are obligated to follow that policy. And then the registries and registrars are obligated to follow the policy because they have a contract with ICANN. And some policies may not be directly relevant to registries and registrars. So if you had a policy saying that that only applied to action that ICANN staff would take, then you know, it's not an issue for registries and registrars. They just need to be obeying the policies in the general sense. Does that just clarify what it is that you're voting on when you're voting on a policy?
So Bruce, I just want to make a comment. It's Marilyn. Jordan, can I do that?
Can I put you at the back of the queue?
Of course.
Okay, yeah, Thomas and then Marilyn. Thomas? Well, I guess you get to go right now, Marilyn.
I was just going to say that we have, at the council level, upon occasion, passed a resolution or sent something forward to the council that was in the form of advice, but wasn't a binding policy, Bruce?
That's correct, yes.
And, you know, I don't want to strand the task force with this, with the debating what the council might do with it, but the task force might want to consider how much work they want to put into something. And I would assume that council would do what we normally do when we get input, take a vote on support of what they give us. If they give us a resolution or advice, then that would be, our vote would be on that form of what they give us. Right, Bruce? So we wouldn't necessarily turn it into consensus policy by voting to forward it to the board for consideration or et cetera.
Yeah, I think that would be in the context of the wording of the motion that was at the council level. But
exactly.
To give an example, we have a motion on the council that recommended that the board change its bylaws to support three representatives versus two representatives. Now, that's not a policy that we can create. That's merely just a recommendation to the board to take some action.
Right.
Okay, well, let me try to ask them. Let me see if I can get a sense of the task force as to whether we think that this policy is better served by becoming as a sort of binding change to the organization and its contracts, or whether it ought to be presented in the form of advice in a non-binding format. Whether it ought to be a formal PDP policy per se, or whether it ought to just simply be some sort of resolution or advice in the form we can take up later.
Yeah, I think as Thomas says, you could certainly have a policy that a process is followed when a problem occurs, and this is what's done in that process. I think that's quite reasonable. I guess what you have to be careful of is specifying a particular outcome and saying, you know, the policy, if anyone raises something, that means that there's an exception created. You know, if that becomes a defined outcome, then that's much more controversial.
Right, and I think that, without speaking as to, you know, what the final recommendations are, I think one that is some of the advice, I guess, we got from the staff last time was, these are some of the modifications we could make to the recommendations in order to make it more palatable, I suppose. Any other comments as to whether task force members view this as something more suitable as a formal PDP policy versus advice of some sort? Well, let me propose then as a way forward that we might. I don't think we have time to talk through the issues right now, but maybe we can attempt to work the wording of the recommendations on the list. Where I think actually on this particular topic we've had a significant amount of success doing that. in the past, and try to incorporate some of the comments made by the staff and the outcome of the last week's conversation, and create a new version of the recommendations. Then we could take up at a later time as to whether we view this as appropriate to be a formal recommendation as part of the PDP or some other sort of form that we'd like to forward on to the Council for Action.
Could we maybe, that's the solution I would suggest, is kind of really split that into that we want at one time focus at a certain process which might hit in the case that certain things happen, and to an advice where we say, well, if it is only in regard to us under certain circumstances, we advise the board to take such and such action. I mean, that is not really binding, but it is an advice that came out of the task force after really having a deep look into the problem.
Right, so you're suggesting, Tom, that the policy might say here's a process that we suggest that we want followed as a matter of policy, and subpoint B is non-binding policy is that we think here's some advice as to in this particular case how the process should be resolved. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less. So wait, just to take out the edges out of the process. I mean, right now we really created a process which is very tough on staff, so we tell them what to do in what occasion, and maybe we can weaken that a little bit and take out the edges and put them into an advice section which ICANN staff and the ICANN board can listen to or not.
Thomas here. I got dropped off the call again. I'm sorry. Could someone fill me in on the discussion that I missed in two or three words?
Sure, Thomas. I heard
the initial part of what Bruce said, and then the connection disappeared.
Sure. I was just going to recommend, Thomas, that we proceed by attempting to edit the policy the recommendations based on last week's discussion with council. We work it on the list until we think it's in a form that has taken into account the suggestions made by the staff, and then once that's done, we could decide whether we want to advance it as a formal policy recommendation or just some other form of advice or comment to the board.
So there is no decision on this call as to whether this will be a policy or not.
People didn't. So far, I've not heard very many opinions about whether it will be a policy or not. That's correct.
Can I just be in the queue, Jordan?
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead. Anyone else? Sorry. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
I guess I haven't followed this issue closely, so I'm just looking at it a bit from the outside. But it's as I understand it, you had a proposal at Cape Town. You've received some staff advice. Has the task force decided whether to change its proposal in light of that advice? Because I guess that's probably the first question then before answering the question as to, you know, whether that, whatever the words that you agree on is a policy or not.
Yeah, so that, I guess that's the question I tried to raise earlier. And I actually suggested that we do attempt to modify the recommendations in accordance with some of the recommendations made by the staff, and certainly if the task force doesn't agree with that, I'm glad to hear it, but I think so far I haven't heard any dissent.
And how would that happen, Jordan? What's the process for doing that?
Well,
change. Is someone going to take ownership and have a
draft? Yeah, that is the logical follow-up, I guess, Bruce. I was actually going to ask if the original drafter of these deep metallics would be willing to undertake that. He's the most familiar with them. I don't know if he's on the call anymore.
He had to step off. I didn't hear him come back on.
Yeah.
But I, you know, why don't you ask him by email? I'm
yep.
not volunteering for him, but I bet you he would help.
Yeah, he's. Been very helpful in driving this issue forward. So that's what I would suggest. I will ask that, Bruce, and if not, if not, I may try to take a crack at it myself. Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay, I think the last two topics we have, I'm going to try to move through the third one quite quickly, which is the accuracy topic. And I think we are still waiting for Bruce to put together a document that describes the work done by the sort of as a summary of the dropping off point of the previous task force and the recommendations so that they can be further worked by this group based on the sort of dialogue in Cape Town, which has already been summarized. All right, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm wondering maybe if I could get Glenn to at least do some of the legwork on that, which would just be to sort of capture, because I'm a bit lost of what's, because I wasn't on that task force directly, and it would take me some time to do that. But it's fine that I in the last call there was reference to that there was a statement made, some sort of output that was some time ago. I'm not quite familiar with what that is, but if maybe Glenn could just sort of scan through the minutes and the notes from that task force and identify what level of agreement had been reached on any topics, that would help me.
Yeah, I recall there was a preliminary report published in Kuala Lumpur from that task force.
Right, so if Glenn wouldn't mind just having a scanning through the notes and just collecting stuff, and then I'll have a look at that first.
Okay, so once we have that, we'll try to move forward on that topic. Any other comments on accuracy? Great. And the last topic is planning for Mar del Plata.
I'm sorry for interrupting late. On accuracy, I would have one question to ICANN staff. And the question would be, I have seen correspondence from the Federal Trade Commission. Maybe you could fill us in on what's going on there.
Yeah, Thomas, I'm going to go ahead and add that to the agenda, but after our discussion of Mar del Plata. Okay. So in terms of Mar del Plata, we do have a joint session of the task force and the council scheduled for Sunday afternoon. Glenn, what were the specific times for that?
It's down from 11 o'clock to 2 p.m.
Okay, great. And it sounds like we will have fairly, we do have quite a large number of participants in the task force that are likely to be there, and so we have that opportunity to do some work, and we also will have an opportunity, or we may have an opportunity, we could request of council the opportunity to make some use of the GNSO public forum. Bruce, do you know what the council's agenda for the public forum is?
Yeah, what I recommend for the public forum is I think that we probably won't have a lot of new material since our last public forum to discuss in terms of recommendations. I think the last public forum we listed the ones that we had, and what I had suggested is using the public forum more as an education opportunity. And I was thinking the call that we had a couple of weeks ago where we had presentations from some of the registrars on what they had done in terms of private registration services, and also comments from some of the CCTLD operators like DNIC, for example, that discussed how they were addressing some of the privacy issues. I thought it would be useful to have some of those presentations repeated, particularly as I'm assuming quite a few of those people will actually be in Argentina. So the intent's more advising the community on what's happening out in the marketplace, and so people have an understanding of what's available today.
Yeah, that seems reasonable to me. Any other thoughts? Bruce, do you have any idea how much time would likely be allocated to who is as part of the public?
Look, I think probably half an hour to three quarters of an hour.
Okay, so we could probably only do probably 2 to 3 short presentations in that sort of time frame.
Yeah, I think you know, any presentation from any individual would only be sort of 5-10 minutes, and the any where you're currently up to on the task force, you know, I think it would be good. Are you going to be there, Jordan?
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah, if you could give an update on where the task force is up to. So, if for example we have a new document, you know, we should refer the community to that new document. If there's any change to the recommendation relating to the issues with the local versus national laws, if there's anything, basically if there's anything new to report since the last meeting, you know, if you could present that.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. So that plus a few short presentations maybe from, you know, similar to the recent call that we ran.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it in the context of what's the most benefit to the public in the general sense, because that's what the forum is aimed at. And so I don't want to kind of rehash stuff that we've already done and just keep rehashing it, because otherwise people won't have any value in it. So if we have a mixture of sort of this is where the task force is up to stuff, as well as here's some information, you know, this is what GoDaddy and NSI are currently doing, this is what DNIC and, I don't know, the Netherlands or whatever is doing to address some of the privacy issues.
Yeah, okay, that seems reasonable to me. I'd be glad to try to coordinate a couple of the same speakers. Or I don't know if you'd rather handle it through the council instead of...
No, I'd really appreciate the help, Jordan. if you could... if you look at that call that we held, and perhaps just look at the ones that... I'm particularly interested in the ones that have that are in operation, because I noticed some of the presentations were kind of... I think from Canada was saying this is what we're planning to do, but that, you know, there's not really operational experience behind that, whereas I felt DNIC actually had something that, you know, they've been operating for some period of time, and some of the registrars had systems that have been operating for 12 months or longer, so, you know, they've got operational experience behind them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that means people can ask questions, because the intent is to encourage as many questions as possible, but... It's easy to answer questions if you can say, well, this is what happened in such and such a case.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I just want to lend my support to the task force helping to organize this rather than the council, because really, we, you know, it is the council's public forum, but I think we all want to be supportive of the work of the task force.
Okay, great. So I think that makes sense. Any other comments on anyone else want to propose any other use of that time? I think that's probably a lot already, so I certainly don't feel we need to have any additional uses. Okay, so Bruce, I will try to reach out to some of the same speakers that we had and see if we can't schedule some of them for that public forum. In terms of that leaves us, I guess, with the question of you know, topics we might like to cover during the joint session. And I might propose that at that session we'll probably already, hopefully we'll already have the notice recommendation sort of out for public comment, so probably is not where we probably won't spend a lot of our time on that, but we might want to break up our, and I think we actually may be fairly advanced in terms of the conflict with local law, but we could briefly talk about that and then maybe split the rest of the time in terms of the meeting between the task force and the council, between the accuracy and tiered access topics, and maybe try to make some, we'll try to have some lively conversation on those topics while we have everyone in the same room. Any other thoughts or recommendations about the Mar del Plata meeting?
One of the things I will probably chair at Jordan as a joint council who is discussion, and probably look at sort of just reviewing where we are in terms of the original three sets of terms of reference and how much progress we've made on each of those, and whether, you know, we think we need to change those in any way, and then sort of then move into discussion of some of the things like tiered access, etc. So I just want to sort of do a bit of a session which is where are we at type part of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I think that, I mean, it's just, we do have a fair chunk of time, so it seems like we could cover some substantive dialogue on those topics as well as sort of a catch-up.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'd particularly like to see what we can do in terms of advancing some of the work on access. TED access is just one mechanism, but basically just looking at the general issue of access and how we can deal with the issues there.
Can we pay a little attention to what kind of preparatory materials or other kinds of documents would be helpful to support making the working session effective? So, I don't know that I have. I'm thinking things like the copies of the terms of reference and whatever status report our chairs are in a position to provide. But there might be, some other materials that people would want to have as reference documents, such as the PDP. I'm kind of making this up. I don't want to take the time up of the group to do it. But a little preparation could probably...
Yeah, I think that's useful. My understanding, Jordan, is that you had a process where you were asking for what suggestions for how to do tiered access. Is there material that people have put in on that topic yet or not?
No, we had no responses to that solicitation.
Okay, so we are starting from scratch. Okay.
Let me know. I think that I think previously Thomas Rossler put together one sort of proposed model. But that was before that call. So that is some basis for conversation. We also have the decision tree that you put together in Kuala Lumpur that might be useful for supporting the conversation as well. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Assuming that I would put together something like a consolidated version of the two sets of proposals, I sense the original quote, constituency, unquote, statement, and the later implementation suggestions. By what time would you need it to, in order to make it most useful for my newsletter?
I would imagine that, people probably start traveling on Thursday or Friday, so middle of next week.
Thursday or Friday this week?
No, next week. So I would imagine the middle of next week seems like sort of the cutoff for people to pay attention to things.
I'm not promising anything then, but I can try.
Sure. Well, I think we do have in worst case scenario we do have the previous documents that you submitted.
Yeah.
And I was going to the other thing we do have that may be useful as well are the various recommendations that did come out of the Task Force 1 and Task Force 2. There's somewhat contradictory in places, but they at least provide some sense of some of the decisions that were made previously in this process. Any other suggestions about supporting materials for that meeting? Any other comments generally about...
Deb, one comment about that. We were going to invite the Security and Stability Chair Advisory Chair to speak with us at some time. I don't know if he's coming, but is that a good time to invite him in to talk to the group, or if he's going to be...
On the Sunday, I think it would be, yeah. I'm pretty sure he'll be there.
Yeah, so that does seem like a good idea. Bruce, one of us, maybe, since you're going to be chairing that meeting, do you want to try to invite Steve to that?
Yep, I can do that.
Okay.
I mean, I think the issue is, what are we asking him to do, though, Baron? Can you just clarify that for me?
I think what we wanted to, the task force agreed to look at tiered access, but there is no agreement from some of the constituencies that they would support such a move, but they've agreed to examine it to understand, et cetera, et cetera. I think the issue was trying to understand the issue of access to who is from the Security and Stability Committee, Advisory Committee's point of view.
Tom is here. Am I the only one who doesn't understand the question to the Security and Stability Advisory Committee? I don't get your point, Marilyn.
Let me try it again. In the past, the Security and Advisory Committee issued a statement on accuracy and who is, and access and who is, to the previous task force. I had suggested that the chair be invited to dialogue with the task force around the same issues as an expert, just as we were hearing from people who have anonymous or proxy services. We heard from .ca, we're going to hear from .au, we heard from .de.
So it could just be as simple as why is who is important to security and stability? Is that kind of a broad question?
Right.
Yeah, maybe Bruce.
I'm sorry, that question presupposes things.
Yeah, maybe Bruce, I might propose two questions, and one might be, what, if any, role does Whois play in the security and stability of the Internet? And
yep.
The follow-up question is, what would the impact be of restricting access to some or all of the Whois data?
Sounds good. Can you send me those two questions, and I'll forward those to the chair of the Security Committee. This will probably be, I imagine, also discussed in the Wednesday workshop on security and stability. So, you know, they will be good lead-in questions, because what I expect then is they will also be addressed in the public workshop on the Wednesday.
Thomas here again. I'm sorry if I'm insisting a little bit, but how about a more concrete question, like, could the Security and Stability Advisory Committee actually derive some requirements? What kind of Whois service is needed in terms of necessary, not in terms of desirable or nice to have? What kind of Whois service is rationally needed for the sake of the security and stability of the Internet? I'd love to see that document from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. And I'm seeing too often fuzzy questions. Is it important? Why? Is it desirable? Why? What I would really like to see is a rational analysis of the needs. For what use cases do you need what kind of access to the data and why? I think that will provide useful input to drafting a tiered access model. I have doubts about the questions that we just heard.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. I'm going to ask Jordan to get in the queue to make a comment about this soon. Before.
Yeah, Marilyn, then I'll add me, and then anyone else? Go ahead, Marilyn.
I want to show some respect for the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and if we wanted to, if the task force and then the council agreed to seek formal advice from the advisory committee, which we can do, or to undertake consultation formally with another SO, which we can do, I think then asking them to undertake a detailed report or analysis would be a more thoughtful process that we would seek agreement on how to put forward. So I had proposed an informal consultation. If the task force decides that a more formal consultation is appropriate, then I think we would need to undertake more thoughtful discussion and get more dialogue going about designing it.
Thanks, Marilyn. I was just going to add, I think perhaps, Thomas, that we could perhaps add that third question as another, you know, query to be made, just basically what are the requirements what are the requirements for Whois to support security and stability? But once again, that gets back to presupposing that there is one. But I think, you know, probably I think you're right that it's probably helpful to understand which of the elements of Whois are actually play that role. So I'd be supportive of adding that as a third question.
Me too as well, Thomas.
Yeah, so can you forward me the questions you want answered? And it might just be a dialogue, because I suspect, given this time available, because Steve, as chair, just like I as chair of the GNSA, you can't really report on stuff that you haven't got an agreement within your committee or within your council. So I think it would just be sort of a dialogue at this stage, given the amount of notice we're providing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think we're looking for, as Marilyn indicated, I don't think we're looking for a formal response of the CSAC at this point. Although it could be that the outcome of the dialogue is that we decide to seek one.
Yes, exactly. I think that's quite reasonable, and I think the CSAC would be amenable to that.
Okay, any other comments about Mar del Plata? Okay, we'll move to our final topic, which is one that Thomas had raised, and we have a pretty hard 15-minute limit on this, which is a query to the staff about the recent correspondence from the FTC, assuming that we have the right staff members on to talk about it.
Hi, Jordan, it's Maria. I know the letter was received, and I know it's being discussed internally. As far as I know, certainly no response has been prepared. And I just shot John Jeffrey a quick email to see if he could give me a response while we're still on this call, but I think he must be in a meeting or something. So what I can promise to do is to get an answer from those guys about what exactly is happening. And also maybe it might be useful to have an idea from the task force about what sort of input people might want to have.
Yeah. If I may step in, this is Olaf again. Since this was something that John Jeffrey mentioned at the last conference call, I tend to remember that he mentioned that it was not from FTC as FTC, but from a single commissioner of the FTC. And the issue raised, if I remember right, was rather on not on privacy as such, but rather the opposite, meaning the potential harm that inaccurate who is information could cause the economy. Maybe, well, something along those lines, if that's at all helpful, but I'm not at all up to speed on that. Thank you.
Jordan, I can comment on the letter.
Yeah, sure. Marilyn and anyone else?
After the call, I went on the ICANN website and surfed around and downloaded it. Now, where did I can't tell you. I didn't have any trouble finding it, but it was late at night. It was Sunday at 2 a.m. in the morning or something. But I did read it. So I think it's under correspondence. That's where I think it is. I did read it, and it is about accuracy of who is data. Unless I'm totally, lost my mind, I believe that's where I found it.
I think you're right about that, Marilyn.
That I've lost my mind?
No, that's
Glenn, please don't put that in a minute.
So Thomas, did you have any specific questions you'd like it sounds like we probably won't get the answer right now, but do you like Maria to pose to John Jeffrey?
None in particular. It was more a general question in the sense of what's going on there.
Okay, so hopefully we'll get some sort of reaction in the near future from the staff. So with that, I think we've concluded our agenda. I apologize that this has run on somewhat lengthily, but I think we have made some good progress. We will have a call next week. Hopefully we will have a report, an initial report to discuss and vote upon. And beyond that, we'll also be meeting next week on Sunday in Mar del Plata. So, absent any final comments, we'll wrap this up and resume again in a week. And I will follow up. We have a number of sort of outstanding things that probably should be worked on the list in the meantime, including hopefully some revisions to our recommendation on national law. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Jordan.
Bye.
Ihre Verbindung wird gehalten.